chapter 2, 1 Corinthians. In verse 1, it says like this, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love to us, extended to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, just what a wonderful time we have had in just remembering the birth of your Son here, Lord. And even now, we continue to look to you, Lord, in this new year, and that you, Lord, would bring that newness of life, that freshness of life that only comes through Jesus and through your Holy Spirit, Lord, applying it to our lives. That word and that anointing that only Jesus can give. Lord, may you give us that newness and freshness of life, Lord, as we turn our eyes toward you and our hearts toward you, and again to the cross of Jesus, Lord, where you took upon yourself all our sin, and after that, Lord, burying our sin and all our iniquity, Lord, you showed us you have the power over death and sin, rising from the dead. And we thank you for that, Lord, and help us and show us, Lord, tonight what it is to live in that power of your resurrection, Lord, to live for you, for your honor and for your glory. So we commit this time to you in your word, Lord. May you teach us, guide us, and apply your word and the truth of your word to our ears and our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. When I heard that sound for a second, I thought it was the trumpet call of God. I don't know if it sounded like a trumpet or not, but it just caught me by surprise. And so, you know, thinking, you know, blowing the trumpets, bringing in the new year, right? But boy, when we hear that trumpet call, we know where we're going, right? But I think it'll be distinct. But it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder that Jesus is coming soon, and we want to be watching. We want to be praying, being vigilant, and being ready. And, you know, as I look to the new year, and many of us, you know, we're summer students looking maybe back briefly and maybe not doing so well, and but yet we're looking forward to a new year, maybe hoping that things will be better in our lives, whatever your situation is, student, mother, father, couple, single, family, work, whatever situation. I think all of us are looking maybe forward a little bit with anticipation. But what I want to talk to you a little bit about tonight is just what the Lord's been putting on my heart, where I have to keep the focus, keep my eyes and keep my focus. And literally, it comes down to, there's a few things I want to share, but my eyes have to be turned and my heart has to be always turned to Jesus, of course. You know, as the book of Hebrews tells us, to looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, right? Just the other day, as I woke up in the morning and I saw the sun coming up, what a beautiful sunrise. Looking to the south, I don't know if anybody got up at that hour after New Year's Eve and being up until about 2 o'clock. And good things, though. But yet I saw that, and it just reminded me that the heavens declare the glory of God. And what a beautiful painting, you know, scene that God just painted for me and reminding me of His faithfulness. Even the rising of the sun spoke of His faithfulness and that His mercies are new to me and to you. But as I began to think about just the year, and here I am, or here we, my family, myself, I'm looking to another year, and what does that all mean? You know, another year has passed by, you know, and so many things run through my mind. And I don't know if you had time to pause and meditate on some things or not, or it's just like another day, boom, just keep moving. But it caused me to pause and meditate, like the psalmist says, Selah. Pause and meditate on these things. But I paused to meditate on those things that, you know, before God. And really, it just brought me, you know where it brought me back? The beginning of this year, it brought me right back, of course, to the Word of God as I opened it up and as I began my prayer time with the Lord. But it brought me back to the cross, you know, thinking of the cross of Jesus. And, you know, the cross of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know. I began to dwell on those things, but you know what? Before I even got to that point, I was just looking at my situation, why I was feeling somewhat maybe depressed or maybe somewhat down. I don't know why. For the past few weeks, you know, I had 3 weeks off. Can you believe that? Off work? But yet there was a lot of honeydews at home, so really, you know, just trading. But nonetheless, I had more time to spend in the Word, spend time in prayer, with family, with friends, with doing the things that I love to do most. And that's be with my family, be in the Word, spend time with the Lord, and go out and share the gospel, you know. And so I began to think, and just pause and meditate on just things that had passed the year and where I was at. And I, for whatever reasons, I can't, Lord knows, right? He knows, just feeling somewhat depressed, maybe just apathetic. And I thought, oh, that's pathetic. You know, I don't want to feel that way. Lord, I just humble myself right there in front of the kitchen table or the breakfast table. I never had sat there. I just, for that moment, and I was looking south, of course, our windows face a little bit east, but I was looking south and sat there and just started, spending my time with the Lord. But I sensed that heaviness of heart and not necessarily that kind of depression that has no hope, you know, but a kind of sense of, you know what, you know, I'm just kind of sick of self. I'm tired of myself, and I turned to the Lord. But He just spoke to me about really the weakness of the flesh, okay? And I was considering just myself. And what sometimes we do, and I do, is I get consumed with self, looking at the weakness and the wretchedness of self. I don't know about you. Some of you have it all together, right? See some hands? No? And so I began to consider, you know, just the sweet time of fellowship that I had with the Lord just over these past weeks, and even New Year's Eve, a beautiful time of worship and music and prayer and a time of in the Word. I was like, gosh, Lord, this is so awesome. I love this. I just being with You. And that time, of course, was spent with the people of God, family of God, and, you know, looking at all those good things and thanking God and praising Him for these things. And, you know, I thanked God for the cross of Jesus. I began to thank Him for the cross because of the cross, I'm able to enter into these things, you know, the joy, the peace, God's the strength that the Lord gives us. And it brought me, and always, and regularly, and I think we need to regularly get to that place of the Calvary, known as Calvary, which is the cross. And, you know, I'm just remembering, that's where Jesus took the stripes that were meant for me and for you. And each stripe, each blow was for my sin and your sin. And, you know, some other things that just kept flowing is my wickedness, evil thoughts, my selfishness, iniquity, all those stripes, the scourging that He took upon His body and the ripping of His flesh was for me. And you know, the Bible says in Romans there,
5:8.
While I was still a sinner. You know, I mean, 2,000 years out, Jesus knew, oh yeah, I'm dying for Ubaldo. I'm dying for, put our name in the blank, if you will. And I must always remember and consider to look to the cross, to the pain that Jesus suffered, the suffering, the anguish, not only of body, but of mind, of heart, of soul. And, you know, we so easily forget the cross. At least I do, and the impact that, you know, the reality of the cross where Jesus suffered and died for me. We forget because we're in this world, we're not of the world, but yet, you know, we get distracted. And, you know, as I was looking at these notes and just considering these things that I would share, and some of these things, I don't even know that I'm going to share, but they're going to come out. And because God's put them there, these words. And, you know, the last time I heard somebody teach here, I think it was Pastor Bo, he talked about how unworthy we were. And it's like, Lord, I don't know if I want to say that again, you know. I mean, they'd already heard that, you know. But I was just remembering how unworthy and how short we come of God's ideal and His perfection. How short we come. How short I come. And oftentimes how ungrateful we are. And in that sense of apathy, I don't want to feel that way. I don't want to have that indifference. I don't want to be complacent. Lord, maybe I need to pray more. As I was reading a little book by Roy Hessen, The Calvary Road. I don't know if anybody's read it, The Calvary Road. He talks about a time where he was praying more. He was reading the Bible more. He was preaching even more forcefully. He's an evangelist. But yet, there was something missing. He knew it, but that's why he tried to do more. But then some brothers from Africa came and they spoke to him. And they said, Brother, if you don't mind, we want to share something with you. And he says, By all means, tell me, yeah, what's missing or what's going on? And when one word, they said, You need to repent, brother. And he says, Okay. Where? In what area? What do I need? I'll do it. You know, this brother, this evangelist, Roy Hessen, this was like 50 years ago or more. And so in the area where he needed to repent was where he, as an evangelist, he not necessarily did anything really wrong, but yet he was being more friendly with the secretary. And they sensed something was going on with his life. And sometimes, you know, there's those blind spots we have. And yet something was going on in his life that he needed to get right and really deal first with his first ministry at home. And so that was an area that he talks about in his little book. But he talks about different areas in our hearts where we, unless we come under the light of the Holy Spirit, the light of God's Word, to examine, to search us out, then we're not going to be... We're not going to be sensitive to that. We're not going to be aware of that. So we cannot make the cross say less than what it is. You know, God. This is God's loving, great, awesome, marvelous love, as great as mercy toward me, a sinner. And, you know, I should say. Of course, His love for me, for you, but... You know, I was destined for hell, and I was deserving of hell, just like you and everybody else, this whole humanity. But yet, that love is so awesome and wonderful that Jesus extends to us, demonstrates to us. So Jesus took my sin at the cross, and you know, he took that sin. Bible says that God, you know, God, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, right? Now, who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And really to take it and to bury it, destroy it, wipe it out totally. Now, you've heard that word sin, and, you know, I've read it, I've heard it too, and it means missing the mark, right? Missing the mark of perfection. And it's not missing it just by, you know, a few inches or a few centimeters, you know, when they're shooting at a target and you see it miss by just a few centimeters possibly, and oh, almost a bullseye, you know. But it was way off, totally missing the mark completely. But as I began to think about my own sin, You know, sin speaks of evil. Sin speaks of something that's broken. You know, just like this world is broken. If we don't realize that, we're unworthy, we're ungrateful, we're wretched, we're unrighteous, dirty, perverse, profane, blind, sick, we're prideful. Get that? I'm prideful. And rebellious, the other one is, we could say, diseased. I mean, we're all going to perish. We're all decaying. We're all corrupt. Really, bottom line, bankrupt, depraved, separated from God. And, you know, I'm saying these things because, I mean, that's what I experienced just the other day. And it was just a reminder what Jesus did for me. For me. This was for me. And, you know, take it for how God speaks to your heart. Because, you know, even in those times of, and I know I'm saved. I've been walking with the Lord for 24 years. But yet there are those times. God is still doing a work in my heart. God is still doing a work to draw me close to Him and stay close to Him. And, you know, I'm reminded, it says, but, you know, yeah, sin, but then we can say, but because of Jesus, but I have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. You know, He truly wiped out that stain, that wretchedness. And in Ephesians 2:13, He says that we were brought close, we were brought near. And, you know, as Paul is talking here now with the brethren there in Corinth, okay, Corinth was a place of idolatry and immorality, big time. You know, you think of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, that was the kind of the 2,000 years ago. That was Corinth, and you know, we look at many cities here. We look at Las Vegas, but yet, you know, Phoenix, Tucson, we can find all those things here: idolatry and immorality. I could go into that, but I think you know what I'm talking about, and. Anything that we put before Jesus. Anything, no matter what it might be. And, you know, He says, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. You know, Paul was a man who was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He says that he was taught at the feet of Gamaliel, you know, the teacher of Israel. And yet, he didn't come with all the PhDs and the toga, if you will, to present himself as some, you know, high and mighty teacher. But here he says, didn't come with that excellence of speech or of wisdom, and of course, speaking of human wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. And this is him declaring the word of God to them. And verse 2, he says, for I determined not to know. In his mind, he was set that when he was going to visit or that when he was to visit with them or the times that he visited with them, he was determined that he was not going to know anything among them, he says, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, and the Bible tells us sometimes that's where we just need to be, is not to know anything but Him. There's those times when we just need to focus and completely give our hearts to Jesus and spend time with Him, know Him. You know, I think it's 1 Peter that says, you know, that you would grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And how are we going to do that unless we are partaking in? He says, be like newborn babes, taking in, you know, the milk of the Word, that we might grow thereby. And so that was Paul's heart, is that they would, well, as he knew Jesus Christ and Him crucified, remembering what Jesus did. He says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And so Paul came there realizing his own weakness, his own fear, and when it says much trembling, it's anxiety of one who distrusts his ability completely. Wow. To hear that from the Apostle Paul, the one who distrusts his ability completely. You know, and even in Philippians chapter 2, I believe, Paul said, you know, all these things, the things that he could have said to build his resume or that were on his resume in the past, he says he counted them all as dung, right? As refuge, trash. It just, you know, it's past. It doesn't mean anything that I might know Christ. But here, he distrusts his ability completely, but does all to fulfill his duty. How? Trusting in the Lord, trusting in the Holy Spirit, as he says here, and my speech and my preaching, his sharing the word, were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit in power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, this demonstration of the Spirit and of power, it's not the jumping up and the yelling and the forceful, you know, words and pounding on the pulpit or whatever, or jumping, doing whatever kind of annex, you know, on the stage. But it was truly the power, he says here, the dunamis. That's something that comes from the Holy Spirit that speaks to our heart, that moves our heart. Whether we be spending our own time in the Word or in prayer, or if God gives you the opportunity, gives me the opportunity to share His Word, that only with that kind of anointing or power, if you will, only He can apply that Word to your heart. I can stand up here and do everything I want, but unless the Holy Spirit, you know, is moving upon your heart and you're opening yourself to Him, can He do that? And of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. Again, getting back to what he just said in, you know, Jesus Christ, to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, later we, or earlier, we read that where he says that he uses the foolish things. And here, I should say, in just ahead in verse, it's foolishness. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, is verse 14, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So he's sharing the truth of God. He's sharing to build them up, to exhort them, to comfort them, to correct them. And it says that their faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. The power of God is that which is going to change you, is going to change me, and move me along, grow me along, build me up, prepare me for whatever God has for me, for you. And he says in verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. For none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. And many could say, well, what do you have for me, Lord? You know, what do you have for me this year? You know, what's ahead? Maybe you have a little anxiety about what's coming ahead in this year. But it says, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. He has something prepared for you. He has something prepared for me. It says in verse 10, but God has revealed it to them through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And sometimes we ask, what are those deep things of God? You know, is it to know, you know, those great theological terms that, you know, speak of the angels, angelology, or, you know, soteriology, you know, speaking of the doctrine of salvation, all these great and deep things, you know. He's talking about, I think, the simple things that God reveals to us through His Word. You know, the day-to-day things of our relationship with Him and our relationship with others. The deep things of God, really, the deep things of God, I think to somebody who does not know and does not have the Spirit of God in them, they are going to be deep. They're not going to understand them. You know, now we know that, you know, theologians can, you know, get lost in the things of God in terms of studying the Word. It's so deep. You know, as we read in the Bible, it says that His riches are unsearchable. You know, and but yet the Word is so beautiful and so simple that a child could receive it and understand it. So you can go into the Word as deep as you want, and you'll always be mining the gold that God wants to give for us, give to you and me. It says, "For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." And you know, when we come to that place of, you know, standing or sitting, wherever, kneeling down before the Lord, you know, He is the one who will work in our heart. He knows your spirit. He knows your soul. He knows what you're going through. And He'll reveal those things in my heart, in your heart. He says, verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. And these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And it says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." You know, what is the mind of Christ? We look to Philippians, I think it's, yes, chapter 2, if you want to turn with me. Philippians chapter 2. In verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2, he says, Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth, and of those under the earth." You know, it's verse 12 back in 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us." You know, God has given us His Spirit to reveal to us, to show us those things that we each need to hear. Okay? The things that He wants to do in our life and change our heart and mold us and transform us. And you know, as I look to the cross of Jesus, I know that that's where life starts, okay? Many were looking hundreds and thousands of years forward, right, in the Old Testament. We look back 2,000 years and know in history that what took place in Jesus dying on the cross, you know, being buried and rising from the dead. And the cross not only speaks of Jesus' provision for us in everything, in taking our sin away, but also it speaks of the blood of Jesus that was poured out. It was actually, the cross speaks of Him taking our sin upon Him. The blood washes away. Because many can say, well, they might have died on the cross, but yet He poured out His blood, sinless and perfect. It says, to take away sin. And I consider not only Him bearing my sin, taking my sin upon Him, but when He rose from the dead, you know, that gives me the opportunity, as I place my faith in Him, to experience that also, that resurrection life. And the power of Jesus, the power of His life, the power in me over sin, as opposed to before I came to the Lord. Okay, I had no knowledge. I was blind. Okay? But now, as like the blind man said, once I was blind, now I see. Was once in darkness, but now I'm in light. And I can choose to walk in that resurrected life, in that newness of life. I was thinking right before I came up here, you know, renewal, refreshment, revival. But you know what? To have that kind of life or experience, we have to have an attitude of repentance and I think brokenness. Okay? And at least for me, it's that been that way the last few weeks, that each morning I get up and I am sensing like, oh, another day. Oh, just a sense of negativity. And I don't know why it is. It just is. But I can say like Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. I get up and it says, oh, wretched man that I am. I can agree with that. But I don't stay there. I'll either right away, Ephesians chapter 6, putting on the armor of God. I was hearing a study the other day. It says, you know, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, put on the whole armor of God. And you know, the brother was saying, essentially what's being said there is, put on the armor of God and don't take it off. Okay? And it's like, well, I go down to bed with that armor? Yeah. You know, get up right away. It's on. I've heard others. You know, Charles Stanley goes through it. He says he's in his bed. He wakes up right away. He starts putting on the armor. Okay? I don't know how you do it, but we have to have that armor on. And, of course, praying. He says praying in the Spirit. After you've done all, he says, and stand, you know, praying in the Spirit. Always praying with all kinds of prayer, with perseverance, supplication. But it brings me back to the Lord. It brings me to my knees. And, you know, I thank God for that. Because, say, if it didn't, oh, I'll just go through my normal routine. You know, I'm still living in this body, this physical body that, you know, is breaking down and gets tired. And, you know, it's starting to sag. It's, you know, all those things. The tent is getting old. We'll patch it up and try to make it look nice. But, you know, it's just, I was sharing this with somebody else the other day. It's like, as I get older, and it seems like my dependence is greater on the Lord, and my desire for His Word and time with Him is even greater. You know, some of you that are maybe younger, you know, I don't know where you're at, but you know, ask the Lord to give you a hunger and a thirst for His Word. Give Him, ask Him to give you a greater love for Jesus. You know what? I asked Him that, and it's like I got dry. I got, you know. Well, He's answering me, because the only place where I'm going to go and get refreshed, get restored, get that living water, if you will, is from the fountain of life, is from the living water that Jesus is. You know, that He's the only one that can minister to your spirit and mine. But yet, you know, there are those things in our life that, you know, we might say, I don't... I'm okay, I don't need to change, or I can't change, that's just me. But you know what? God can change you. Yes, you're right, I cannot change. Yeah, that's just me, that's my temperament, that's, you know, that's what you get, you know. Well, let's say that is me, and I can't change myself, but I know one who can. And if you ask Him to do that, and I've been asking the Lord, transform me, just radically change me, Lord. And you know, He'll bring things into your life that you may not understand initially and say, well, what's going on here? I'm asking for, you know, this, you know, the Holy Spirit power, you know, to get into, you know, just that relationship and on fire for the Lord. And, you know, and for me, it was like the opposite. And it's kind of like what he was saying, this Roy Hessian, the Calvary Road, says when he was praying more, okay, maybe I need to pray more, you know, he said, I needed to just fall broken before the Lord and realize that wretched man that I am. Or maybe it's I was just tense that day, you know, or maybe I was frustrated, or maybe I worried. Those things are going to happen, right? I mean, it's natural. We're flesh,
But yet, we're also, we have a new nature. You know, in 1 Peter or 2 Peter 1:3, you know, says that through His divine power, the divine power, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the life of Jesus, He says, has given to us all things that pertain to the life and godliness. Then I start thinking about Romans 8:32. I hear Pastor Scott so often say, and it's like, oh, a great reminder. You know, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? You know, all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. I'm reminded of those promises in God's Word. You know, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But there are those moments, and maybe you think, I don't need brokenness, or I don't need that. I'm fine. I don't have any sin. But you know what? We all have it. Now, I'm not saying that you're practicing a lifestyle of sin. Don't you? You know, we definitely don't want to be doing that. But if God reveals something to you, then deal with it and take it to the cross. Take it to the cross. It might just be an attitude that you have. Maybe some area in your life in how you deal with your spouse, with your children. Just the other day, I remember my children, 2 years old. I going to them and saying, "Forgive me, you know, I was wrong," and or even to my wife and asking her to forgive me. You know, as guys, that's tough. But I tell you, the first time I did it, it's like, whoa, I felt this power, you know, the power in the sense of this joy, this peace that I pleased God, you know, and He gave me that He was pleased with me. And of course, He blesses then my relationship with my wife or with my child or at work, or, you know, that's another one at work. I've had people who are non-Christians come to me and call me on something. And it's like right away, I thank God that, you know, I have to bow, you know, and say, gosh, you know, I'm sorry. I don't know what the, you know, I don't. Sometimes we want to say, no, well, I didn't do anything, you know. And it's that the flesh and the pride coming up rather than just listen. And so there is no sin that Jesus cannot take away. There is, you know, it doesn't matter how lost the person is, how far gone, you know, He can draw us close. No matter how blind, He can give us sight. No matter how hard, He can soften our heart. If we'll just go and acknowledge to Him, you know, and ask Him, if you ask Him to show you your, reveal your heart, search my heart, Lord, you know, He will show you. As you go to Him, and of course, we're not to be self-centered and self-focused. Maybe it's me, but sometimes it's a tricky thing. The flesh, you know, deceives me because I start getting focused on myself and my predicament or my feelings, if you will. Why I feel that way, I don't know. But right away, because of just being in the Word and just praying, having a daily time, whatever time that is for you, and however long, that's between you and the Lord. You know, He'll deal with me. He'll show me that and remind me, you know, don't trust in yourself. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart, not on your own understanding. See, I'm one that does that. I begin to think, why am I feeling this way? Or what did I do? What did I eat? Or maybe I need more exercise. Or maybe I need this. Or maybe I need that. And, you know, sometimes you watch television, I laugh because they're constantly throwing, well, you need this little pill, you know, and you feel all great. And, you know, bottom line is it's just the flesh, you know, wants to get some focus on self. And even in my weakness, times that I look at my own weaknesses, you know, or maybe you look at your own weaknesses and you get bummed. It's like, oh man, I can't do this, or I can't do that, or I want to do this, and I'm, you know, let's not look at that, because You know, when we look to our weakness, you know, it bothers our pride. I heard that one once from a teacher, and it just hit me. I don't know if it hits anybody, but when we look at our weakness, we don't like to be weak, you know. Now, there's a difference between being weak and being meek, right? Meekness is power under control. And but the weakness, let's not look at ourselves. That's why we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, keep our eyes on the cross, where we can go and lay our burdens down. And let's be Christ-focused and not cross-eyed, but cross-focused. Sometimes we're cross-eyed because we don't know where we're going. And, you know, there's only one sin that will not be forgiven. You know what that sin is? Only one sin. Is that the one? Oh, the murder. Oh, no. You put whatever sin you want down. It's the only sin, and that is the sin of unbelief, right? And I will trust Jesus to help me through whatever situation it is. And I was talking with one of the other pastors, and we're just sharing about brokenness, and it really made a lot of sense to me because I've experienced that. And sometimes when I just have to spend time with the Lord in the Word and wait till I sense that brokenness. Okay, let Him work. I think sometimes we go to prayer and we're out of there, we're gone. Let Him work with you in whatever area, whatever situation. Maybe you don't even know, but He will reveal that to you. And so in order to get that experience of, I think, revival, continual revival, is being refreshed, you know, in the Lord and bringing that sense of peace, strength, joy, and hope in your life. Even in the midst of difficulty or loss, the only way that's going to come is if we fall broken before the Lord. And, just a couple of weeks ago, and I'll finish up with this. Actually, last month, a couple of weeks ago, my father passed away. And, you know, from the moment up to even where I was able to share at the funeral, I just sensed, I had this sense of peace, of strength, of joy, and of hope. You know, I know peace is because what the Lord had shown us in the last year that we were able to spend with our Father. And then even in how He passed on to go on to be with the Lord. But He gave us strength also during the time of the, just prior to the funeral and even during the funeral, to be able to stand up there and with a smile just share the gospel with family members who are lost and frankly going to hell. But share it in love, of course, and encouraging them in joy, because I could truly say that, you know, my dad was, I'm looking forward to that day. I had that joy in my heart because I know that the Lord, you know, He received the Lord. He took Him in. And we were able to minister to Him in the last year that He was alive. And He actually said, "Son, read the Word to me." Where before He would say, "You know what? You got your religion and I have mine." And He'd turn His, you know, back on me and walk the other way. But, you know, I'm His son. I'm to honor Him. I'm to love Him. Continue love Him. And then the last year, when He got sick, we were able to minister to Him. Lord knows how to deal with the heart. Even for 76 years, not wanting it. Now, the last year, He received the Lord. And I have that hope, not only for myself, of eternal life and spending eternity with the Lord, Jesus, but also that I confidently and expectantly and anticipating my reunion and seeing Him, you know, once we are there now, whether in heaven or wherever the glory, wherever we are, as long as we're with Jesus, right? So, the place where we need to be, I think, is if you don't know Jesus, and I would hope that we all know Jesus here, is come to that place where you can just pour your heart out before the Lord. You know, and the psalmist, I can't remember which psalm it says, but before I was afflicted, I went astray. But yet, Lord, you have been faithful and you have brought me back. And all we have to do, of course, is confess our sin. You know, repent of our sin. That means turn away from our sin. And acknowledge that sin and agree with God, right? And believe and receive Jesus. That He did die on the cross for my sin. That He was buried. And that He rose from the dead. And that life, that power that raised Him from the dead, as Ephesians says, that power also will work in you. And it'll work in so many different ways. It's called the manifold grace of God. He works in so many different ways. And so with that, I just want to finish encouraging you to, you know, I don't know where you're at this new year. You're looking maybe forward to a lot of, you know, different challenges this year, expecting, neat things to happen this coming year, we hope. But yet maybe some disappointments already. I don't know. Maybe some relationships strained. Financial matters. You know what? Take it all. Take it all to the cross. And likewise, put yourself there. And just say, You, Lord, You work in me, Lord, whatever You need to do. I'm broken. Where You can then fill me and to work through me. You know, to give You honor to You, give You glory, and live the kind of holy life that honors the Lord and will bless others around You. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for just the example, Lord, that we see here where Paul's heart, Lord, this apostle that You called to be so determined and so centered on You, Jesus, because, Lord, You are the center of life, Lord. You're life itself. And that through You, Lord, and not only Your life, Your words to us, Lord, You're taking our sin there at the cross and burying it to allow us to come into a relationship with You, Lord. And through the power of Your resurrection, Lord, and the power of Your blood that You shed, that will wash away our sin, that will wash away every day, just cleansing and washing us, Lord, that we can fall broken before You, Lord, and that You would give us that newness of life. We ask You just to give us even a greater hunger and a thirst for Your word and just a greater love for Jesus. And Lord, that we would have also a burden for the lost, Lord. And I know that when You work that in our lives, Lord, that then we can have that kind of personal revival and that it would continue, Lord. But we know the time is short, Lord, and help us just to be cross-focused, focused on the things up above and not the things of this earth, Lord. Do that work in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Why don't we stand?